91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. For the next hour, we discuss South Florida foundations and philanthropy and the annual Give Miami Day, which is this Thursday, the 19th. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. Last year, the Miami Foundation sponsored a comprehensive report called Our Miami, which surveyed and addressed the needs of its community. It showed 8 key areas of need. And more about the Foundation's Give Miami Day. Last year, 20,000 donors gave more than $5 million to the cause. This year's Give Miami Day slogan is, "When giving goes viral." We'll also hear from two high-visibility charitable sports foundations, that of the Miami Heat and the Miami Marlins. That's next. Stay tuned. First, the news. And 6.5 minutes past 1 o'clock, it is today's Topical Currents Tuesday edition. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. Today's program looks at South Florida philanthropy, particularly with a Miami-Dade flavor. We'll also discuss the Give Miami Day, which is Thursday, and also learn more about the charitable foundations of two South Florida pro sports teams.
But first with us is the Miami Foundation's Vice President for Strategy and Engagement, Rebecca Mandelman. She's active on numerous boards, startups, and community arts endeavors as well. Rebecca, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. If you would you just give us a little history and a thumbnail of the Miami Foundation, which I used to know as the Dade Community Foundation, yes?
Absolutely. So we were founded in 1967 as the Dade Community Foundation, recognizing that collectively we can make a greater impact than each of us could do on our own. And since then, for 48 years, we'll be celebrating our 50th anniversary in 2 years. For 48 years, we've been doing that through a combination of grant making, administering philanthropic funds, and assisting individuals, corporations, families with their charitable giving.
And your role is Vice President for Strategy and Engagement. What does that mean exactly?
It's a little bit of everything. So I do work on our development efforts, which is bringing new funds into the foundation. So that's helping people with their charitable giving. I also work across our marketing and communications, as well as our advocacy efforts. So it's a little bit of everything that deals with the external side of the Miami Foundation.
And bring us up to date on Give Miami Day. You're about 48 hours away from the start of one, a little less than that, actually.
Absolutely. It's getting exciting. Give Miami Day will be this Thursday. It's the 4th annual Give Miami Day. And Give Miami Day really grew out of recognition from something that the Miami Foundation does called the Our Miami Report. And the first Our Miami Report was in 2012. This is an indicators report that aggregates information and data to give us a snapshot of how Miami is doing. And we saw in 2012 from doing this report that civic engagement in Miami seemed to be lagging. And people talked about how Miami wasn't an especially generous community. And so we set out to really change that notion and to show people how generous Miami can be. So 4 years later, we're excited to do that again this year.
Now, this Miami report was really a very comprehensive, big-time academic effort. Why did they say was there less community support in Miami because of so many transient, our population so transient?
So, you know, I think it's a number of factors, you know, but what we focused on with the Our Miami report was really how can we leverage this information and how can the community leverage this information, other organizations, elected officials, government entities, how can they leverage this information to really inform the work that they do in the future and try to change some of the things that maybe weren't great and then also celebrate the aspects that were.
Who's partnering on Give Miami Day? Who are you partnering with?
Yeah. So we're partnering with a number of entities and organizations. There are over 600 organizations participating in this year's Give Miami Day, which is very exciting. Last year, there were 520. So this year, we've got over 600 organizations that are participating, meaning that they can raise funds on Give Miami Day, and everybody throughout the community can donate to them on Give Miami Day. Additionally, we have a number of really important partners that support what's called the bonus pool. And the bonus pool adds an additional amount of money onto every donation that's made on Give Miami Day. And so the Miami Foundation, along with partners like the Knight Foundation, like the Miami Heat Charitable Fund, like the Miami Marlins, Stearns Weaver Miller, there's several, there's Health Foundation of South Florida, the Mitchell Wolfson Senior Foundation, a number of others support this bonus pool to really ensure that every gift made on Give Miami Day goes farther.
Sort of the heavy hitters club.
People and entities and companies and organizations that really want to see Give Miami Day continue to be a tremendous success.
How do you vet the organizations that participate, the 600 now?
Right. So in order to participate in Give Miami Day from the nonprofit side of things, it has to be a nonprofit that either is based in Miami-Dade County or does a significant amount of work in Miami-Dade County. So it's really for organizations that are local. And so they have to be a 501c3 organization, charitable organization, and really that they fill out the profile online, which is called Nonprofit Central, and want to participate. So
at this point, let me just say that one of the 600 is WLRN. And of course, we're always in need of support.
This isn't a pledge drive.
No, it isn't. It isn't. But we do need to say that we are participating in Give Miami Day. And of course, our support is what brings us the WLRN Miami Herald News and the NPR programs and Topical Currents and the St. John Economy and the Florida Roundtable, the Florida Roundup, rather. And we are going to have a table at the
Community Block Party.
Block Party, which I'd also like you to talk
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. So on Give Miami Day, all of the donations are made online. This is a virtual giving event that lasts for 24 hours. So it'll be starting at midnight on Wednesday night and will be ending at midnight Thursday night. But really, we wanted to do something, and this started last year, to bring people together in person. And so we started the Community Block Party, which is generously sponsored and supported by the Miami Marlins. And that'll be from 5 until 8 p.m. this Thursday. It is free. It is open to everyone in the community. There'll be a concert by Swenelo, food trucks, lots of games, tables and exhibits from participating nonprofits. And again, that's from 5 to 8 at Marlins Park. And please, everyone come out, bring the whole family and enjoy.
Is it too late for a company to still get to participate? Is the window closed?
Absolutely not. It is not too late. So there's a number of ways that a company can participate or an individual can participate at this stage. First of all, of course, plan to make donations and gifts, which start at $25 on Give Miami Day on Thursday. And then secondly, we are still accepting supporters for the bonus pool. So if anybody would like to support that bonus pool, they can contact me or go to givemiamiday.org, and our contact information is on there. So absolutely, there are a number of ways. And I did want to just mention, you know, Give Miami Day really for us is about democratizing philanthropy and showing that every single person can be involved in their community. And so I encourage everyone to go online, to check out the organizations that are participating, and, you know, come on out on Thursday to enjoy the fun at the block
party.
Is
that a common perception that you fight, that some people will say, oh, the big corporations are all taking care of things, I don't have to give $25?
No, you know, I think that we've found, and especially through an initiative like Give Miami Day, we've definitely found that perception is changing as we see younger people getting involved and giving, and they're giving in smaller amounts. We're seeing that perception changing. And especially if we look at Give Miami Day, where the average gift last year was $270, which is, you know, is a substantial gift, but is still not something that is, you know, very, very high. And so that means there are lots of $25 donations happening as well as on the higher end. We've really seen that perception shift.
How much of the base of donations, is it all local or does it come from around the country?
It comes from international countries as well.
It does.
So yes, it comes from states throughout the country as well as internationally and then, of course, locally. But no, we've seen this really spread. It's a testament to how impactful the nonprofits in Miami-Dade County are. And then also just, you know, how easy it is to access Give Miami Day and to participate in it. Anybody with an internet connection can participate. Anybody, you know, with that kind of computer access can participate, and that can be done from anywhere in the world.
The foundation is much more than just a fundraising and grant issuing entity. Tell us a little bit more about the Miami Leaders Program, where you train people in nonprofit organizations. I saw a couple of our guests that we've had on the program have come through that program.
Absolutely. Leadership training and development is hugely important for us. We have three pillars at the Miami Foundation, and that's philanthropy, community, and leadership. So through programs like the Miami Leaders and the Miami Fellows, we really seek to ensure that the next generation of Miami leaders has gotten the training and the exposure that can help them impact our community in a maximum way. And so the Miami Leaders Program works with nonprofit leaders in the community and helps them really build their capacity and build their organization's capacity and sends them to programs throughout the country at various universities to help them with training in a specific area that their organization needs that training in. And then the Miami Fellows Program is an 18-month-long leadership training program that 16 area leaders participate in, where they really get exposure to a variety of facets of our community, again, to help them really continue on their leadership journey.
Joe and I were talking this morning. I don't know, I'm sure we're not alone. We are bombarded with pleas for Give Miami from different organizations.
Dozens, to
get their support on Thursday. So it makes it a little confusing for, I think, the community. Who do you give to? I mean, how do you make that choice? You just have to...
Yeah, it's definitely, there are many important causes and even more incredible organizations out there. And so really what we suggest is that... everyone takes the time to look through Nonprofit Central. It's a new database this year where organizations can upload in a very simple and clean format videos, photos, and information about themselves and their programs. And so we really encourage everyone to do some research beforehand. You can search and filter by category.
So it's called Nonprofit Central.
Nonprofit Central.
Dot. Yep.
So it's Nonprofit Central. .miamifoundation.org.
Okay.
And you can access that also through Give Miami Day. And on Give Miami Day, that will be the database that's used. So you'll be able to see all of it on that day as well. But it's up online already. And so this is really a great way to do research beforehand and see the kinds of organizations that you want to support.
We're speaking with Rebecca Mandelman. She's the Vice President for Strategy and Engagement with the Miami Foundation. We're talking about
Give Miami Day
and foundations.
We're going to talk about sports philanthropy next.
Right. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
We're funded by WLRN members and by Willie the Bee Man. Proper bee removal requires two steps, locating the hive and extracting the honeycomb. Willie the Bee Man offers complete beehive removal. Details at getridofbees.com or 1-888-9-NO-BEES. Willie the Bee Man.
If you're like most people, the word Thanksgiving makes you hungry and stressed. I'm Dan Pashman from the Sporkful Food Podcast at WNYC. Join me for my new radio special, Thanksgiving is for Eaters, with Amy Sedaris, Mo Rocca, and Robert Krulwich.
There is a turkey that is making moves on my wife.
Take this, swallow that, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Don't miss Thanksgiving is for Eaters. You're going to get really hungry.
Thanksgiving Day at 1 p.m. on WLRN.
United Teachers of Dade will hold a rally in Tallahassee Thursday, January 14th. You can get on the bus and join FEA President Joanne McCall and FEA Vice President Frederick Ingram as they address the subject of more teaching, less testing in our public schools. Registration at utd.org.
I'm Tim Padgett. To better understand our hemisphere and South Florida's key role in it, tune in to WLRN's Latin America Report on Tuesday, Martes, Terça-feira, Mardi. Made possible by MBAF, CPAs and Advisors.
Welcome back to Topical Currents and our foundation conversation with representatives from the foundations of two area pro sports teams. Both have a unique position in the community and are able to garner the attention of people from all walks, and in particular, the admiration of young people in the region.
First, it's the executive director of the Miami Heat Charitable Fund. He's Steve Stowe. Welcome to you, Steve. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me on.
And the Heat play tonight.
We do.
They've won three in a row.
Yeah. To keep it going.
And also, we have Alfredo Mesa. He's the vice president and executive director of the Miami Marlins Foundation. Welcome to you, Alfredo Mesa.
Thank you for having us.
Good to have you. And we found out before the program that this is a return visit for Steve, who used to volunteer for the radio reading service.
I have to give a shout out to my sister. She reminded me about that on my way here. So,
but you would have remembered. It would have been deja vu all
right
over again,
right?
Right
when I walked through the door, right. Same steps, same studio. Big flashback.
Okay, so now you're with the Heat. You've been with them for a number of years. Tell us a little about you and your role now.
This is my 16th season with the Miami Heat, and I work in the basketball operations end of the team. And basically, our job is to raise as much funds as we can for the Miami Heat Charitable Fund to give to our different local beneficiaries, but at the same time help the South Florida community and make sure all of our players' philanthropic activities are in line with what we do as a brand for the Miami Heat.
It says you're the liaison between the board of directors and the rest of the organization. What's the role of the board of directors?
So the board of directors brings all different ideas to us. We meet once a month and discuss different activities and initiatives that are going on in the South Florida area. And we also want to figure out what's important and what's the greatest need in South Florida. And we figure out a way how to contribute and give back to those areas of interest.
Now, Pat Riley is the president. Does he fit in with any of these foundation and charitable grants?
Yeah, so Pat's wife, Chris, is a member of the board of directors, as is Madeline Arison, who's the wife of Mickey Arison. But Pat's very hands-on. He's an amazing person to be around him for all these years and learn exactly, you know, not only the business, but how he is and how he conducts himself. He's very involved in what we do. All of our different events, every year we have our Miami Heat Family Festival, which takes place in the spring. He's out there volunteering. And then we also have our annual gala that actually started in his backyard at his own home, where we had Michael McDonald come and give a concert for folks in attendance. And we've grown from there, and we've gone to Shaquille O'Neal's home, Ray Allen's house. Last year we had it on Ocean Drive. So it's really grown, and it's a tribute to what he started here in Miami when they first came here.
And Alfredo.
Alfredo Mesa.
There we go. Okay.
Tell us more about the Miami Marlins Foundation.
Well, thank you.
You've been such a big part of.
Thank you. Like Steve, I also work in the area of philanthropy for the Miami Marlins. The foundation raises money for those causes that the team has identified as important in our community. We have a charity partners that we select every year, and we work with very closely. We also help manage our players' individual charitable giving. And with each one, we try and make sure that their passions are also reflected in their giving. So we help channel that and guide that. And it really is a privilege. I mean, we have pretty cool jobs, and to be able to do that for a sports entertainment company and to do it in your home. I mean, we're both from Miami. It's pretty special.
Alfredo, how do you choose the organizations?
We have a process called the Empowerment Fund, where organizations apply once a year. We actually just closed the window for 2016. We had over 160 organizations apply. For the larger gifts, we select four each season. And those four charity partners, as we call them, not only receive a large charitable gift from the Marlins Foundation, but also season-long activation at the ballpark on our radio network, on our TV network, volunteer opportunities for our front office. We have a volunteer program called Marlins Ayudan. 200 plus.
Ayudan.
Ayudan.
Yeah, what, yeah, what
it
is
means
that?
We help in Spanish.
Ah, okay.
Definitely. And so that's we try and align our four charity partners with our philanthropic mission, as well as, you know, many other charities that we support through a sponsorship program.
Both of you gentlemen, tell us more about how the players participate. They attend a lot of your events, I suppose, and also, of course, they're there signing autographs, and they also make personal donations then.
Yeah, well, for instance, this Friday, we'll be right here in your backyard in Wynwood and Overtown. We're having our annual Thanksgiving celebration where our entire team will be there at the Miami Rescue Mission. We're handing out turkeys, Thanksgiving meals to almost 1,000 homeless folks and those that really need it. So, you know, we have a lot of new players on our team this year. And as I said before, from Pat Riley, his wife Chris, and the Arison family, our players really buy into what we do and make a commitment to the community. And we're all in this together. So this is something that it's important to us to do. As you said, we have a game tonight. Not only is it important to win on the court, but it's just as important to win off the court and show that community how much they mean to us by them giving so much to us as fans.
And how do the fundraising events tie into the actual arena and the stadium games?
Well, at Marlins Park, we have a variety of activations during the games. You'll see a 50-50 raffle where fans can buy a raffle ticket, and half of those funds go to support our charity partners. But also our foundation really is strong thanks to our players as well. When you have a Giancarlo Stanton, you know, who has a dental program for kids right here in the neighborhood.
Oh, that's I read about that. That was amazing. They'd never been in a dentist's office.
One of our partner schools just up the street, Lenora B. Smith Elementary, every student in the school was screened by the same dentist who helped Giancarlo after his unfortunate incident. And then over 60 of those students who had the more severe cases were given full dental exams, and many, you know, who had never even been to the dentist. So when you have a player involved, not only philanthropically but hands-on, it really makes what we do extra special.
For those who aren't aware of it, Giancarlo had some major dental work because he was hit in the face with a pitch.
Correct.
Right. So speaking of Giancarlo Stanton or Dwayne Wade or formerly, you know, LeBron, what kind of burden is on them, or what kind of responsibility, maybe that's a better term, to play a bigger role than maybe a player that's not doesn't have the notoriety?
Well, they're role models, and not only do fans look up to them to give us a great sports experience at the ballpark or at the American Airlines Arena, but they also look up to them to be active in the community. One of the things that we assist the players with is help, because they do get solicited quite often, so we help players sort of navigate through those requests and make sure that we're aligning their giving with those things that are important in Miami and important to them personally.
And Steve, I noticed you chose Safe Space. It's a domestic violence shelter for women and children. Is there something, what other initiatives do you do in that realm?
So Safe Space has been with us since the very beginning. Our Heat family group is comprised of our players' wives, their girlfriends, and now our players' mothers. The players are so young. We have a group of moms that get together, and they actually host a holiday party every year for the women and children of Safe Space, which is coming up. And it's something that's very important to us, you know, prevention of domestic violence of women and children. So not only is Safe Space big, but the Jackson Memorial Hospital's Guardian Angels program, where, as I mentioned before, the Miami Heat Family Festival actually refurbished an entire wing of that hospital, the Miami Heat Home Court for Cares Center, and then also the Carnival Cares for Kids Center. So all of our critical dollars go to substantial initiatives in the community that when our players are visiting Jackson Memorial this holiday season, they'll actually see the renovations that we've done.
Both of you gentlemen, do most organizations come to you, or do you select them and go to them?
I think it's both. You know, our process, we solicit organizations to send us what their partnership ideas are for funding from the Marlins Foundation. That's how we select our charity partners. And that's also how we get ideas, because even, you know, there may be organizations that aren't selected through the charity partner process, but they gave us a great idea for us to, you know, activate our volunteer program or have other ways that we can support them throughout the year.
So we could plan a WLRN night next year.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There we go.
Steve, let's start with you, Steve. How do you get most of your funding?
Okay, so most of our funding is done from our fundraising events. The Miami Heat Family Festival and our gala. Those are our two main fundraising events. And
is it mostly corporate money?
No, it's not. We do have great support from corporate backing, but just as Rebecca mentioned earlier, you know, we live here in South Florida and we're very fortunate to have a community that gives. And the gala, for instance, which is strictly for 50 couples and our players, it's $10,000 a ticket to that event. So when you're talking about such a high-end premium event, that enables us to give. But then also we do smaller events where, you know, we get thousands of people to come and meet our players. And it's just really nice to be able to have the fundraising come from those two main events. And that enables us to give for the 12 months throughout the year.
And Alfredo?
In a similar way, we have a golf tournament and a Taste of Miami event. We also have a fantasy auction, which is where we raise all our money for our scholarship program. But it's also our players. Our players give, and the company also gives. Those buckets are really where we highlight our giving.
What would you say is your most successful program?
I would say our most successful program right now, there's two, if I can just mention two. The Charity Partner Program, which I mentioned earlier. Because this is where we're all in. It isn't just, you know, giving a contribution. It's really, you know, dispatching our front office employees to be active with those organizations year-round. And that interaction really introduces us to what they do day in and day out. So it's a very, very powerful opportunity for employees to be introduced to the good things happening in Miami by the nonprofit sector. And I would say our Marlins Ayudan program, which is, you know, sending our employees to our partner schools. We have 8 partner schools right in the year around Marlins Park, and those two programs we're very proud of.
And the Heat Charitable Fund?
So something that's really just come to life this past week right after Veterans Day. In 2006, when we won that first championship, you know, Pat Riley had a stack of endless letters from our troops in Iraq wishing us good luck in that NBA Finals. And when we won the championship, came to me and basically said, what do we do with all these letters? And I said, I don't know. You know, so we had to think about what to do. And we came up with this program, Home Strong, which was a playoff of the motto we had during that championship season, 15 Strong. And that's became its own fundraising entity now. And we've been able to really service the military personnel that served in Iraq, in Afghanistan.
How do you service them?
So what we've done is we've honored them at over 400 consecutive games since 2006. We partnered with the Fisher House and America's Moms for Soldiers, and from whether it's sending care packages to the troops overseas, having a holiday party at the Fisher House. We also just came up with our alternative jersey. I don't know if you've all seen it this past week. We wore it 3 times, won 3 games, and those proceeds are going to the Fisher House. And the fans love the jersey. Completely different color. Still had the Heat mark. And next year, we're going to do the same thing. So it's really caught on, and we're so happy that a program like that started from a stack of requests, as Alfredo's so, you know, used to receiving, this is something now that is a credible and substantial part of South Florida's community.
That's Steve Stowe. He's the executive director of the Miami Heat Charitable Fund. We've also been speaking with Alfredo Mesa. He's the vice president and executive director of the Marlins Foundation. A short break, and we'll be right back.
And we're back. It is today's top occurrence with our foundation conversation today. If you'd like to join in with a telephone call, comment, or question, that's easy enough. 1-800-743-9576. That's 1-800-743-9576. Also email, that's radio@wlrn.org. So we continue, and now turning to a key leader of the South Florida philanthropic scene, for many years, Dr. Michael Rosenberg.
An orthodontist, he retired about 10 years ago and has been a whirlwind of community spirit, philanthropy, and education. He chairs the President's Council of History Miami and chairs the Miami-Dade County Environmentally Endangered Lands Committee, among other things.
He's on the City Parks and Recreation Board, the Kampong Board, the FIU College of Arts and Sciences Advisory Board. naturally a member of the Board of Trustees of the Miami Foundation. He calls that retirement.
Welcome to you, Dr. Rosenberg.
Thank you.
Good to have you
Could
with
you
us.
Speak up a little bit,
pleasure
Doctor.
To be here. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
What, you were an orthodontist in Miami for 37 years. Are you from Miami?
I am indeed.
Another native. That's
absolutely
three out of four. Wow.
Where'd you go to high school?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Miami High. Where else?
Okay. So tell us what moved you to devote your time and energies when you retired to the nonprofit sector.
Well, I think there's so much good that can be done in our community, and the organizations that are doing the good need the help. They really do. They have the desire, they have the staff, and they just need that extra help. And it comes in the form of both donations and of dollars and of time. So that's why I like to be involved with the groups that I support, not just give the money.
Dr. Michael Rosenberg, how does one gain such cachet for such community leadership? It's not just money, is it?
It is not. It's just a real desire. These organizations are happy to have people from all walks of life. That's what makes these organizations tick, really, to have people that are been in all different professions, all different lines of work, and that's what really makes the nonprofits function well, when they have a well-rounded board helping to run the organization.
You started as the chairman of the board of directors of Switchboard of Miami. Now you're on the board of trustees of the Miami Foundation. Would you just distinguish between the two? What do you do on a board of trustees versus a board of directors?
I think those terms are pretty much interchangeable. The difference is the focus, the mission of the organization. So when you're dealing with Switchboard of Miami or Voices for Children, they are focused on a specific mission, and that has to be part of their very being. The Miami Foundation takes a broader view and looks at the entire community and tries to really improve all aspects of our community.
From a foundation standpoint, and I suppose a fundraising standpoint, what's unique about South Florida and Miami? What are the advantages and what are the disadvantages that you find over these many years?
Well, I think that the multicultural aspect of our area just does nothing but add positively to the ability of organizations to reach into these communities and hit the chord that reverberates best in that group and use them to further the cause. So I've seen it work in all our communities, and it's wonderful to see when it really happens.
What about the transient nature? Think of New York with generational philanthropy, really. So Miami is different in that regard. Does that present any obstacles to you, or are those just give you more impetus to help?
I think it's something that has to be addressed and overcome, but there are more than enough generous people and generous corporations and generous organizations here that give both of their time, their talent, and their treasure. So it's just a question of tapping into the different areas, the different ethnic groups with the mission that is critical to them.
And I suppose you're all conscious that not only is Miami one of the richest communities in the country, but also one of its poorest.
Well, certainly we, like any community, have different socioeconomic groups, and I think that the nonprofit community really focuses and helps those that need that extra help to be in a position where they can function really comfortably.
So, as Joe mentioned, you chair the President's Council of History in Miami and the Miami-Dade County Environmentally Endangered Lands Committee. Tell us about those.
Well, the Environmentally Endangered Lands Committee has been in existence for about 18 years now. It was funded with an ad valorem tax for 2 years, raised $90 million, and we purchased land that is environmentally sensitive from willing sellers only, and we have been able to establish buffer zones and purchase different areas in the county that are critical to the environment, and even more critical these days as we understand and appreciate sea level rise and the importance of our coastal community.
Does this at all tie into maintaining the urban development boundary?
It certainly does. It certainly does. Much of the land that we buy butts up against the urban development boundary, and it is large swaths of it are in the South Florida wetlands, which is, you know, all down south along Biscayne Bay. So those areas where people cannot actually build, but some people do own land, they are very happy to be able to get a fair price for it and have the county take over it and manage it, which is a key word there. We do indeed manage the properties that we do buy.
What was your most recent purchase?
They were a large swaths in the South Florida wetlands, which is, as I said, South Dade along mm-hmm. Biscayne Bay. That was our most recent focus.
You sound very proud of being born and raised in Miami, Dr. Michael Rosenberg. What do you miss most about the old Miami?
Oh, my goodness. Riding my bike, I guess. I mean, we used to go everywhere on our bike, from downtown to Coral Gables. Just get around on your bike, and now I don't see that as much, unfortunately, because of the traffic. So I guess the traffic is the thing that I noticed that has changed really the most.
What would you want to say to others to encourage them to become philanthropists? Obviously, you don't have to be wealthy. You were talking all about, you know, you can do it with passion with your time.
Absolutely. And I think you all were talking about Give Miami Day. I think that's a wonderful opportunity. Give Miami Day is an easy, effective, and efficient way for somebody to get involved in philanthropy. I think Give Miami Day raises the whole idea of an awareness of philanthropy and giving. It helps to establish the culture of philanthropy in our area. Utilizing the internet and social media, smaller nonprofits that don't have the funds for large marketing or advertising mm-hmm. budgets can reach their supporters on Give Miami Day. So I think it's a wonderful way for our community to come together, show that we do have a culture of philanthropy. And it's a great way for people to get started. Once you learn about these organizations, I have to believe you want to get more involved. And again, it's your choice. Any there's an unlimited amount of need, so you can pick the mission that suits you the best.
Well, Dr. Michael Rosenberg, stay with us for our upcoming segment. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more.
All right, thank you.
And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Again, if you want to join in the conversation, are you participating on Give Miami Day? Why?
And your favorites?
And what are your favorite causes, your most important donations?
Maybe WLRN.
Maybe. 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN. Or you can email radio@WLRN.org. And just to put in here, because I want to say how successful it was last year, and we're going to talk about what was raised. But WLRN raised, I think, $22,000 last year on Give Miami
That's
Day.
That's pretty significant.
They're looking to raise 50. More is better. Okay.
Well, we resume our foundation conversation with all of our guests on hand. Here's an update on that rundown. We have the Vice President of Strategy and Engagement of the Miami Foundation, Rebecca Mandelman. Also with Foundation Board Member Michael Rosenberg.
Also with us is Alfredo Mesa, who directs the Miami Marlins Foundation, as well as Steve Stowe, who directs Miami Heat Charitable Fund.
Again, perhaps you'd like to phone in with a question. It's a great opportunity for budding grantees, perhaps, to gain some insight. Our number, 1-800-243-9576.
No. Right. Oh, okay. I looked up there at the pledge line.
That's the
pledge.
Sorry about
that. Okay, so we're going to go back to you, Rebecca Mandelman from the Miami Foundation. First of all, how much was raised?
So last year, collectively, $5.2 million was raised for 520 participating organizations. This year, we have set a goal for $7 million, and we are confident that Miami can get there.
Okay, now again, we were talking about that Central...
Nonprofit Central.
Nonprofit yes. Central. Here it is. And you wanted to give that website again.
Correct. It is actually nonprofits, plural, .miamifoundation.org. So nonprofits.miamifoundation.org, where you can go and research participating organizations in advance that will be participating on Give Miami Day.
And let's take a listener call. First up, we have Susan in Miami. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I'd like to thank you very much for covering this subject and to thank WLRN for supporting the nonprofit community. The way that you, at no charge, advertise events that nonprofits are having is a real help. I run Animal Hero Kids, and we're a nonprofit, all-volunteer, very small organization with a large mission, and it's basically to prevent violence against animals and to promote kindness. And I was listening earlier to the Miami Heat gentleman speak, and I was wondering if the Miami Heat has any sort of violence prevention programs or if they're interested perhaps in partnering with Animal Hero Kids, because we do presentations in the schools about being kind.
Susan, I respect so much. I want to say you are always reaching out. But anyway, Steve Stowe.
Well, the question is for the right organization. I personally own 3 rescue dogs.
Okay.
And then through the Miami Heat and the partnership we have with Miami-Dade County Animal Shelters, we've actually done some pet adoptions at our games, and we've also done it at the Miami Heat Family Festival, which I keep referencing. And a lot of those dogs find forever homes with our Miami Heat fans. And I can't tell you the amount of stories I hear from fans rescuing dogs through us, giving them names, naming them after players, and kids buying them jerseys to put on dogs. So yes, we're definitely very interested in assisting. You know, you could visit www.heat.com for our request policies and all our guidelines there. But yes, that's something that's very near and dear, not only to myself, but to the organization. And we have many players on our team who the same thing. They have adopted dogs, and I can't even tell you anybody in the organization that's actually gone out and purchased a dog.
That's such great.
We've all rescued pets, and that's something that we're very proud of and is very rewarding for us.
Wow.
Thank you. This weekend, we're actually giving the Animal Hero Kids Award at a festival, and I'm not sure if any of your players might want to, at one point in the future, help me surprise.
Give out the number.
Yeah, that sounds great. Unfortunately, we're in the middle of a 4-game homestand right now in about 6 nights. So having players go out and do different things right now, there's some conflicts with our own events. But yeah, if you visit our website, heat.com, we'd love to, you know, visit your facility or hear all about the great work that you do. And like I said, that's something that's very important to our organization. So please feel free, if anybody's listening, to visit our website and access our community relations request line.
Dr. Michael Rosenberg, a quick question for you. What kind of advice would you give to someone, such as the last caller, with a deserving nonprofit to get funding from a foundation? Everyone can answer that.
Well, most foundations do have periods where they accept, and I think both your other, both the Heat and the Marlins, mm-hmm. they have periods where they have open acceptance of internet-based applications.
So they're probably firm with those deadlines too.
They are. There are specific. Most nonprofits do have, and funding organizations have specific deadlines. But again, getting that information is easy online, and once you know it, prepare a summary, and it can be sent to more than one organization.
And would you like to both Steve from the Heat Charitable Fund and Alfredo tell us, you know, answer the same question, and also Rebecca?
Yeah, so as I said earlier, Dr. Rosenberg's absolutely correct. It's an online application, and we open that opportunity once a year to be selected as a charity partner. It's a very simple online application. We want to know your mission. We want to know your programming and your idea of how to apply Marlins Philanthropy to your organization.
You'd probably give a lot of thought of how you write some of those things, though, to make it most appealing to a board.
Right. I think the more successful applications are those organizations that study what the Marlins do in the community and align their programmatic ideas with our mission, which is primarily education, and baseball, and with a focus on children with special needs.
What about, is it only for a year? Do they have to keep coming back year after year?
So it's, we select them every year, but you can actually be selected as a charity partner for two consecutive years.
Okay.
So we do have organizations, for example, Special Olympics Florida is now in their second year as a charity partner of the Miami Marlins, and we've had other organizations that have actually gone the 2 years.
And Steve Stowe with the Heat Charitable Fund, same thing?
Yeah, very similar process. All of our requests are made online, and then we have a grant application that has to be submitted, and our board of directors votes. And just like any board of directors, submit any request that's submitted, we fulfill it through the online process.
But you keep funding the same organizations for many years, it sounds like.
Well, we have our main beneficiaries,
okay.
As we discussed, but we're just recently, as Alfredo knows, we've made some different partnerships, just like the Marlins have, especially Hispanic-based organizations as of late with Kiwanis and La Liga and some other organizations. But we're always open to different organizations, and we're always looking for new opportunities. As we said, this community is changing every day. And it's something that we want to make sure we're giving to the most at-risk or at-need group, and that's something that we monitor daily.
Michael Rosenberg, for the many boards that you serve on, is there frequently some heated discussion among board members for who gets grants and who doesn't?
Well, there's certainly a lot of discussion. It's not always heated, but there are definitely the grants.
We want to hear about the heated ones.
No.
But I want to tell you something. I've had the pleasure of working with both Steve and Alfredo in the community. These guys are out there on boards giving their time. So when they talk, they're giving their personal time, too. So I just want everybody to know that.
And I just also want to mention that the Heat also has, it looks like, has a focus on education. Is that?
Yeah, education is huge for us.
For both then.
Yeah, our Heat Academy program is something that my first year with the Heat, we started that program, and it's grown tremendously, not only in this backyard here of Overtown and Little Havana and other areas, but now we have a tracking program for scholarships that Carnival Cruise Lines, the Florida Prepaid Scholarship Program, has partnered with us. So once those students graduate the fifth grade, we now track them throughout high school, and they're eligible for college scholarships when they become seniors in high school. So that's something that's personally rewarding for me, and it's a pleasure and an honor to work for an organization that, you know, cares so much about what is important in this community. And that speaks for all of us here. Mm-hmm. You know, we're very lucky and fortunate to have owners and backing that not only want us to do great on the field and in the court, but something that is very meaningful to our future, which is our youth.
Rebecca, tell us the same question that
absolutely. Yes, so our grant programs also are accessible online. We generally advertise them in advance through our newsletter, which goes out on a monthly basis. So anybody who would like to receive that can go to miamifoundation.org and sign up for our newsletter. But yes, the applications and the guidelines are also accessible online via our website.
And how about a quick recap of Give Miami Day?
So Give Miami Day is coming up this Thursday. 24 hours of giving begins at midnight, late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning, and goes until midnight on Thursday night, early Friday morning. And anyone can go online to givemiamiday.org and make a donation of $25 or more to any one or more of over 600 participating local nonprofits, and really prove how generous of a place Miami is.
Yeah, and get your $7 million.
And get our $7 million
and
for WLRN, the community.
That's
the goal, $7
million.
Yes. And come to the party.
Exactly, and come to the community block party at Marlins Park from 5 to 8 p.m., free and open to the entire community.
And that begins?
5 p.m. on Thursday.
Okay, that's the big day.
Exactly.
So do each of you want to give contact information about your organizations again and how to give? We just have a minute left. Alfredo Mesa.
Sure. So for the Marlins Foundation, you can visit www.marlins.com/foundation, and you can call us at 305-480-2550.
Steve.
And likewise, if you want to visit our heat.com website, or you can call me directly, 786-777-4141. And we're proud partners of Give Miami Day. And the Miami Foundation is something that I know not only the Marlins are proud to support, but the Miami Heat Charitable Fund and the Miami Heat are huge back again this year with Give Miami Day. And we hope to continue for many years to come.
Okay, and Rebecca Mandelman.
For Give Miami Day, you can visit givemiamiday.org and call us at 305-371-2711.
And Michael Rosenberg, any information you'd like to give?
I would just urge everybody to tune in and support Give Miami Day. It's a wonderful way to give and begin and get involved.
Well, thank you all for being with us. It's been a great conversation about foundations.
And also thanks for tuning in this hour. The program was produced by Polly Landis, technical direction from online producer Paul Leary, lead producer Richard Ives, also with assistance. If you'd like a downloaded audio copy of today's program, we have them at our website, WLRN.org. Begin with a click on radio. And more information, links, and photos at the Topical Currents Facebook page. Tomorrow at 1, it's live coverage of the Miami-Dade School Board meeting. Bonnie and I return Thursday for segments with South Florida Sun Sentinel, consumer queen, and blogger Doreen Christensen. And Linda Gastenheimer gives her annual Thanksgiving Dinner 101 one week before the big day. Bonnie, shall we brine or shall we not?
I want to know how we get Giancarlo Stanton and Dwayne Wade on the program.
But I want to know that too.
Yeah.
Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.